Praise the Lord, everyone. You can be seated if you would like. I just want to give a reminder out to all of our men who back last year on Father's Day. I don't even remember the deal that we had on Father's Day with the grill. Any of you brothers remember that? We have a book here called Building Blocks to Manhood. We're 6 months away from Father's Day, and this was written by Brother Rufus Parker. He's preached behind this pulpit many times, and he'll be back with us again this year. But the deal was whatever man read this book and then got as many other men to read this book but had to get their signatures on the inside cover of the book, whoever had the most signatures by Father's Day would get a new grill. Okay? Now, I've got a book here. These books are $15. I don't know who's ahead so far in this. Brother Ward Myers got four. Okay, so if you want a nice, you know, $400, $500, $600 grill, whatever we decide on, $15 investment, get a dozen or so men to read this book, and you're well on your way to winning that grill. You have to catch up with Brother Ward Meyer. They do have to read the book in its entirety. So if you would like a copy of that, you can see myself or Sister Jessica, Sister Brittany, Pastor Thomas. We've got a few copies left, and we can order some more. So just want to give you a heads up, guys, 6 months to go. I know sometimes we hate getting reminded on things, so this is a six-month reminder. I'll remind you again a few weeks before, and how's that? That work all right? Also, if our ushers, we have a commitment form that we passed out on Wednesday night. If you were not here Wednesday night, if you'd like to pass those commitment forms out while they're passing the commitment form out, I'm going to go ahead and kind of give a little bit of a review. Last Wednesday evening, we spoke. We began a series going into the month of January, and we titled the series Releasing the Glory. Last year, we started out with Show Me Your Glory, and this has kind of been a journey that God has taken me on. And as a result, you've been able to take and come along on that, and I want to see more of the glory of God in our lives. I want to see more of the supernatural here at Calvary Gospel Church. Our theme for this year, all year long, is expect. And I want to expect a miracle. I expect a miracle every day. And the awesome power of expectation in 2016, I'm believing that we're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. We have faith. We have expectation, and faith plus expectation equals miracles. We spoke about that last week, and we're using our theme scripture for this particular month. We're going into 21 days of prayer and fasting. We will get into that as this message unfolds this morning. But reading from Matthew 17, chapter 17, verses 19 through 21, which is our passage, our key scriptures for this passage. Read with me. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" A little backstory on this. The disciples had gone out earlier and they had been used mightily in miracles, signs, and wonders when Jesus sent out the 70 and the seven. And they were able to take and heal the sick, and they were able to take and see great things. They were even able to take and cast out demonic spirits. So here they are again. They come up against a demonic man that is possessed by many devils, and they attempt to cast them out, but they could not. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief." Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, he goes into a teaching mode. And this is one thing that I loved so much about Jesus, is he always uses moments like this to teach his disciples a valuable life lesson. So he says unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. For nothing shall be impossible unto you." Then he adds a little addendum at the end. He says, howbeit or however, this kind or this type of a spirit, this type of a demonic presence that you have encountered today goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So he goes and he begins to lay a foundation. He lays a foundation of faith. He has stated that every man has been given a measure of faith. And if you take that faith, even faith as small as a small grain of mustard seed, which is not much bigger than a comma of 16 font on your computer, and say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Whatever that mountain is in your life, it doesn't have to be a physical mountain, but say unto this mountain, be thou removed and move to yonder place, or get out of my way, Satan. Get out of my way, problem, and move over there. Leave me alone. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's a pretty profound statement. Then he follows it up, which says, but be aware of the fact that this type of a spirit that you have come up against this day, it only goeth out but by prayer and by fasting. So as we move on into from Wednesday night, this sermon this morning, we'd had very low attendance Wednesday night due to all of the holiday and such, and that's all behind us. And I'm going to add a little bit of Wednesday night, and then we're going to add a little bit more in this morning, and then we're going to combine some things this evening for our communion and our commitment service. But it is Releasing the Glory as our series. We had Pray, Fast, and Expect as our message on Wednesday night. And this morning's message is titled, The Testing Begins. Because as we go into a time of prayer and fasting, a 21-day window of prayer and fasting, there is going to be some testing that is going to be going on within Calvary Gospel Church. You are going to be tested. I am going to be tested. We are going to be testing. God is going to use this time. If we expect and we desire to have miracles, signs, and wonders, and we expect to have the supernatural power and the release of the glory of God, it is going to be a process of testing that we are going to have to go through. Prayer and fasting, I believe, when they are combined, they would be what we would call the two most lethal or the two most powerful spiritual combinations on earth. And then you add in the Word of God. So you have prayer, you have fasting, and you have the Word of God. There is nothing that the enemy can throw against us or form against us if we are a praying church, a fasting church, and a church that is founded upon the Word of God. Knowing that, we can better understand why Jesus, as he was in the wilderness on a 40-day fast, he was able to defeat the enemy. He was able to defeat the kingdom of Satan by prayer, by fasting, and using the Word of God, three simple scriptures from the Word of God. Fasting, as we go into fasting, fasting begins to break down our pride and break down our arrogance, and it begins to take, and humility begins to flow out of us. I have stated this before, and I will state it again and also throughout this message, that God despises a boastful and a proud spirit. That is the reason why Lucifer fell from heaven, was because of his pride and his arrogance. You see, true fasting brings humility into our lives by destroying the flesh. We have our flesh. That is what we call our skin. I'm not referring to as the largest organ in the human body is our flesh. It's live. It grows every day. It has many layers upon it, and we're constantly shedding our skin and growing new skin. That is not what I'm referring to as the flesh. We talk about the flesh of man. We talk about the desires of man, the selfish desires of man. We are made of flesh, and we have all sorts of sinful, lustful desires. Our minds are creative, and anything that we desire and lust, it can start in our mind, and it's acted out in our flesh. Our flesh is something that we constantly fight. We get up in the morning on Saturday morning and we don't want to mow the lawn because our flesh is tired. We don't want to shovel snow because our flesh is tired. We don't want to fast because our flesh craves. Somebody left a Milky Way bar up here for me this morning. Our flesh craves chocolate. Our flesh craves coffee. I said I wasn't going to go into that because I'm trying to take, and somebody set me up here. I don't know who it is, but by the end of the month, this will be really, really good. But you see, flesh, it takes prayer and it takes fasting. Fasting is what breaks down our flesh desires. You can pray and commit to prayer. Prayer doesn't break down and put the flesh into the form of humbleness like fasting does. I've heard it said over the years that prayer is a preparation for battle. And I, as I said Wednesday night, this is a bit of review for those that were not here. I'd like to go a step further and say that prayer is the battle. It is in prayer that we are engaging the enemy. We are talking to God, and as we pray to an almighty God, he dispatches his angelic forces to meet whatever need that we are praying for. Just as the church was praying for Peter while he was in prison, while they were praying, he was being released from prison. They were praying. There was a battle that was going on in the supernatural, and the angelic forces of God went to that prison and they released Peter out of prison. Just as Martha Chernikowski was in the hospital and she was facing, and she was here this morning, by the way, she was facing a major brain aneurysm and possibly life changing physical altercations as a result of that massive aneurysm. Just as she was in the hospital, we were praying as a church. There are thousands of people that were praying all over this country. The battle was going on while we were praying for her. Prayer. Prayer. There is power in prayer, but fasting. We combine prayer and we combine fasting and we combine the Word of God. Remember our last series, we talked about blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble. There was a reason that God took us through those keys. And as we go in to the month of January and we begin to talk about prayer and fasting and we begin to talk about what is coming up, we're talking about expectation, but we're going to go through a time of testing. Thus, the title of this message this morning is The Testing Begins, because prayer and fasting, it brings about a time of testing in our lives. You see, fasting humbles the flesh when it is done for that purpose. And that humbling of our flesh pleases the Spirit of God. Listen, church, we can go a certain distance in God. You can be talented in many areas of your life, but without fasting, without the highest and the most rich blessings that God desires to give to us, without prayer and fasting, we're only going to get so far. I believe personally we have come as far as we can go. I feel that we have hit this ceiling. I believe that as we went through this year and we've looked at some of our Holy Ghost, our soul goals, and we had 249, I believe, is where we ended up this past year. I believe God is trying to send a message to us, Bishop, is that you have gotten this far on what you have done in the past. But if you want to continue, if you want to raise that ceiling, if you want to reach and get up here where my glory stands, if you want to get up here where I am, if you want to get up into the mountains and look down, if you want to see the world from my viewpoint, you're going to have to take, there's going to be a little bit more testing. There's going to have to be a little bit more sacrifice that's going to come out of your flesh. When we look into the Old Testament, we find many, many cases of people that fasted. We can read and read where Moses had fasted for 40 days as he went up onto Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. I believe one of the reasons that he was fasting and he spent a great time of in prayer and fasting was he desired to see the glory of God. And God says, Moses, you can't see my glory because your flesh is not prepared yet to see it. I believe also, we look in and we hear of even wicked King Ahab, which we all aware of. That would be Jezebel's husband. He was also went on a fast, and even though he was a wicked king, in 1 Kings 21:27, God did not bring down his full judgment upon him because God was moved by a wicked king who fasted. We look at the wicked city of Nineveh when Jonah, the reluctant prophet, went there, a city that God says, I'm going to destroy in 40 days, lest you repent. And God saw and looked down upon that wicked Gentile city, and even the cattle fasted. And God said, I see your repentant spirit. I see your humility as you begin to take as king and you humble yourself and you wear sackcloth and you smear ashes on your face and you fall down on your face before a God and you begin to cry out in repentance. I can work with that humility. We look into the New Testament and our New Testament church, we talked about where Jesus fasted. He didn't say in Matthew 6:16, when you fast, not. He says, if you fast. He didn't say if you fast, but he says, when you fast. He expects us to fast. And I don't know about you, but my flesh doesn't like to fast. I'm tempted by all sorts of things when I fast. How many of you are that way? How many of you just absolutely love to fast? This is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a test because we didn't have one hand that went up. You see, fasting, you see, the greatest byproduct of prayer and fasting is a powerful sense of unity that comes upon a church. I believe as we go into this year that we are going to be in for a year like no other. I spoke recently of the 11th hour, the urgency of the 11th hour, and I used the parable of the vineyard and the master that had the vineyard, and he hired all of the workers, and you have to go listen to the message online if you'd like to get the gist of all of that. But we are in the 11th hour. This does call for urgent times, church. This calls for desperate measures. You see, when we look at prayer and fasting, it destroys our flesh. It destroys our self-interest. It brings about humility. It brings about repentance. It brings about forgiveness. It brings about mercy. All of those keys, we talked about that. And out of all of that, out of our flesh flows the glory of God. And out of the glory of God comes a powerful force of unity within the body of Christ. God wants to. He desires to do many amazing things here in 2016. He desires to pour out the supernatural among us, but he is looking for those who are willing. He's not looking for the talented. He's looking for the willing. He's looking for those who desire. He's looking at times for those who are just often just plain desperate to urgently make the corrections that they need to make in their life in order for... Did you get what I just said, church? Those that are urgent.
urgent about making the changes in their life so that the power of God can flow through us. How do we think we're going to reach this world? The power of God. We are the church. And we need to have a supernatural presence of God in this place. We have to make the corrections needed in our own lives so that our lives will come in line with Him and His plan that He has for us. God resists the proud. God resists the proud. God hates pride, but He gives grace to the humble. Successful fasting is also one of the fastest ways in which you and I can gain and learn patience. Patience is one of our tests, and we're going to be talking about that down the road in a few weeks. But patience and endurance, it takes patience and endurance to fast for more than one day. I mentioned this on Wednesday night as well. Listen, we can all go without fat food for one day. I am not opposed to one day weekly prayer and fasting. I think that the consistency over time makes up for a lot of battle in the spirit realm. But God is looking for more than just one day fasters and one day prayers. He's looking for a long term commitment. That's why we are starting into a 21-day commitment of prayer and fasting. You see, I have found many times in my life that the most difficult tests come when I am fasting. We need church, and this is what I'm seeking and desiring to do as this month unfolds. We need to be prepared because He will use this time as a church body to test us. We must understand that God is not playing games in life. So many times we think all of this is just another game, or it's just another process, or, oh, now we're praying. Listen, this is serious business with God. We're going to be tested, and this testing begins now. When we look into Deuteronomy 8:2-3 and then 8:16 in the New Living Translation, the Lord is talking to the nation of Israel, and He says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you, humbling you and testing you. Those words are always seemingly together, synonymous with one, humbling and testing you to do what? To prove your character. Prove yourself to me. Listen, God doesn't have to prove anything to me. I've got to prove me to God. Prove your character and find out whether or not you would really obey His commands. Yes, He humbled you. There's that word again, humility. He humbled you by letting you go hungry and feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you. He did it to teach you. This was a test. He did it to teach you the people need more than bread for their life. It's more than food. It's more than raiment. It's more than what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in. But real life comes by feeding on the every word of the Lord. They were tested. God says, Israel, if you're going to go into the promised land and you're going to represent me and I'm going to be your God, this is how I expect you to behave yourself. These are a testing time, and they were tested for 40 years in the wilderness. Verse 16, He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food you did not know. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. So He did it so you would never think that it was your own strength. The manna came from heaven. We have a spiritual manna, which is the Word of God. And in 21 days, this spiritual manna is going to be our food source. Does everyone understand that? This will be our food source. The wilderness has always been defined as a desert place. It's a place that is it is an uncultivated place. I've been down into southwestern United States, and I've been into many, many wilderness areas of Arizona and Utah and southern Colorado. I spent a full week riding horses with Brother Rick Wells in some very rugged wilderness areas. It's not a place that you want to take and live in. It's a place of constant, seemingly disorder. You look around and it's a place of nature, but within that nature there's all kinds of dangers. We were all together in a camp. We had horses. We weren't out there by ourselves with no food and had to search for food and water. It was a very rugged wilderness place, a place where people like you and I, even though we may consider ourselves manly men, if we were dumped off in and said, we'll pick you up in a week, we may not survive that week. Wilderness, when we look at it, in our own lives, wilderness are places of insufficient resources. There are times in our lives when we don't have the resources to take and make it through another day. The wilderness are places of pressures. Life puts this pressure on us. And as we go into 21 days of prayer and fasting, we are going to find ourselves in places of difficulty. We're going to find ourselves in places of pressure. We're going to find ourselves with places of insufficient resources, and we're going to face opposition. And so many times we ask ourselves as a member, as a family of God, we ask ourselves as a Christian, why, God, does all of this have to happen to me? And why am I going through all of this? God is saying this is a test for you. This is a test for you. So many times we ask about when bad things happen to good people, and we're asked with why so much of our effort produces such poor results, and we ask why the expected successes that in our lives, successes that we expect, are delayed, and we wonder why the wicked prosper while we as righteous struggle. It's because God desires to do something through us. How are we going to reach them unless we ourselves have been tested? You see, people tend to deal with difficulties better if they understand that what they endure is going to serve a purpose. What we are going to endure and go through as a church over the next 21 days is going to serve a purpose that is going to propel us into this year and beyond. Do we understand that, church? Knowing that our trials, knowing that our testing, knowing that our faith is not pointless, is going to make going this amount of time bearable to us. I'm trying to prepare us, church. This is not a gloom and doom. This is a preparation time. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So why does God test us? The purpose of every test that we receive from God is to reveal what we understand and to reveal what we don't understand. Understand that when we go through a test, God is looking to reveal to us some things that we already understand, but he's also looking to reveal to us things that we don't understand, to reveal to us how the test or this lesson relates as to how we need to live our lives. God tests us. He tests us to humble us, to break down our pride. He tests us to prove our character. to teach us that you need more than bread. You need more than food. He tests us to discipline us for spiritual maturity and for self-control. He tests us to reveal to us that it was not our own strength that makes us prosper. It's not because of what we do. It's because of what He does. The testing occurs so that we would not forget who God really is, so that we can learn to trust God, and so that our faith that is as of the grain of mustard seed, would grow stronger in God. He tests us. He tests us. He tests us in a manner which are not always familiar to us. He allows us to be dependent sometimes in His testing. He allows us to face stress. In His testing, He allows us to suffer pain. When I look at Jesus as He fasted out there alone, dependent upon Himself and upon God, no doubt He was stressed. 40 days without food will put stress upon the body. He suffered pain. But you see, there's a great point coming up right here. And if you write anything down, write this down. God is more interested in your character than He is interested in your comfort. You see, God is more interested in the character of an individual than He is interested in how hungry they are. God is desiring to change us. You see, we cannot see our weaknesses until the testing process that we go through reveals that to us. God desires to see us change into His likeness and into His image. You see, impatience is something that is also often revealed when something hinders our progress. We become impatient, and pride is revealed when we are forced to do something that is menial in our lives. See, we like all of the big. Our flesh really loves the spotlight. We really love the big stuff. It's the little stuff. Brother Dave Hopp is our maintenance man around here, and he doesn't get a whole lot of accolades from behind the pulpit. It's the maintenance guy. You know, when the toilet's plugged during church, poor Brother Dave's got to go clean that thing out. Monday morning when the bathrooms are trashed, water all over and junk all over because we can't throw stuff in the trash can, Brother Dave's in there picking it up, humbling himself to pick up our garbage. You see, there's no pride in that. He takes pride in doing what he does. But you see, we have to understand that sometimes as we go through this process, there are things in our lives that are revealed to us. Did you know that idolatry can be revealed to us? You say, oh, idolatry. Yeah, I said idolatry. Those are things in our lives that we place in front of our relationship with God, is idolatry. When we're required to sacrifice those things that matter to us, is revealed in testing. Immaturity is revealed when we can't have our way. Self-will is revealed when required to do something against our personal ambitions. You see, you cannot change someone, and God cannot change someone who does not see an issue with their actions. Thus, the humbling of prayer and fasting and reading the Word of God Self-centeredness is revealed when we're forced to serve others. Matthew 12:35 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." You see, self-centeredness is revealed when we're forced to serve other people. Why am I got it? Why do I have to do this? Why is this my job? It's all about self. You see, testing, church, is inevitable. It's going to happen. Testing is continual. As long as we desire to serve God, our testing process will never end. Testing is necessary because it becomes part of our growth. And testing is productive because testing makes us better. Testing is influential because it changes how we live and how we think. And testing is designed by God just for you and for me. You see, church, I want to ask you, are we ready for the supernatural to become the normal? Many of God's tests come quicker for us when we fast, and we have better opportunity to pass those tests. Why? Because we are in a process of overcoming our flesh. We are in a process of pushing down, and in some cases, just outright destroying the works of our flesh. Our carnal mind, when fasting, is being placed under the subjection of the Spirit. Our carnality, our flesh, we're taking our flesh and we're putting it under subjection of the Spirit of God. And it's something that our flesh strongly fights against. You see, if we want to go far with God as a church, if we expect miracles, signs, and wonders this next year, we would be facing these tests anyway. These tests are going to come. I think starting out 2016, that we need to just bite the bullet and embrace the correction that God has and desires and wants to apply to our souls. You see, I didn't fully understand, and it just amazes me how God works. Bishop probably has a lot more experience, and Elder Russell probably has a lot more experience in this than myself, but sometimes we don't understand the journey in which God is taking us on. I went back to the beginning of January and reviewed Show Me Your Glory, and then I ended this year in kind of in a prayer session as God was leading me through, and we talked. God began to question me about Matthew chapter 5 as this year came to a close, and here we are going into expectation about releasing the glory, about praying and fasting, and then he lays this series on my heart about testing. God has got us on a journey, church. A journey for greatness. But we have to prepare ourselves. Fasting will give us God's focus for our lives in 2016. It's a major key by hearing God's voice. And if we're going to do this, we are going to be in for one wild ride this year. You see, the world is working overtime to distract us, to entice us, to win our hearts and our minds and our focus. The world is trying to determine what our vision for our lives should be. And fasting cuts out the world so we can bring ourselves in tune with the Almighty God. You have your fasting commitments with you. And I'd like to go over this tonight. That's what I'm asking each person. I'd like to go over this today, and we'll be going over this tonight. For 21 days, and Wednesday night, I failed to mention, we had a very powerful tongues and interpretation at the end of our service. And I just was distracted a little bit. I failed to mention when we're actually going to start this fast. If you've already started it and you assumed it started, that is fine. You can continue for 21 days. But we're going to officially start this on midnight, Saturday, on midnight the 9th, starting next Saturday night. And we'll run through midnight of January the 31st. It will be 21 days from midnight to midnight. I selected this time. It falls in line with our district. Our district has asked us to pray for our district conferences that we have coming up, all of our sectional meetings that we have coming up. Our district has asked us to pray for that, all of our home missions works and our daughter works and preaching points that are going on within our district. But also our national superintendent, Brother David Bernard, has asked us to pray and fast as a church. And we're also praying and fasting here that God would take and God would open up, God would show us, God would reveal to us. So I picked this time because it's after Christmas and most all of our Christmases are done. I know some of you still have Christmas this weekend and a lot of New Year's company parties and things that go into the 1st of January. So we'll be starting midnight next Saturday night and be going through midnight of the 31st. And on there, there's a number of different fasts that you can select from. If you're doing the Daniel's fast, we'll go over that here in a moment. But it gives us time to also bring together your recipes and the special foods that you're going to need if you're going to do a Daniel's fast. There are various variations of Daniel's fasting on your commitment form. There's a website that you can go on that gives you time to prepare with you and your family what you're going to do for that time. Listen, it is going to be a challenge. You say, oh, Daniel's fast, you know, that's just eating salads and beans and such. But go one full month without your coffee, brother. Go one full month without your Mountain Dew, Pastor. Go one full month without sugar and without flour and without meat if you're used to sitting down to meat and potatoes every night. It's tough. My wife and I went on a Daniel's fast a year ago. I felt like I was starving to death. I was like, God, there's a reason why when you released Noah from the ark and you says, you know what, meat's fair game. And Noah wasted no time. He probably thought, I wonder what a chicken tastes like. That pig looks like if you fry it upright, it might just taste good in those ribs with a little of that special sauce from Miss Noah. Might be a bit delicious over open fire. Here, look who put this Milky Way bar up here. I'd put it in my pocket, but it'll be melted by time. Also, during this time, I've asked the church to turn off your Facebook accounts. If you've got a smartphone, you can just go in there and you can just delete the app for 21 days. It's not really that difficult. Turn off Twitter. As a family, if your kids at night play games on the computer, turn off your games, turn off your social media, Snapchat, Pinterest, all of that, and spend time with a family, as a family. Talking with God. I'll tell you, church, we need this, and Madison needs this. If we're obedient to God in fasting, I promise you, You want to be used by God this year like no other? God will make us His catalyst for revival in Dane County. Trust me, there's pain in fasting, but there's a great reward at the end of it. We're going to face the enemy head on, and we are going to conquer him. Some of you have been battling and fighting some of the same demons in your life and in your family for years. And if you commit to this, you will destroy the enemy and stronghold in your life. Fasting is powerful, and it is tough. You see, our bodies go through a natural purification process. We call it detoxing. We have our men and women that come into our CIP program and they're on drugs and alcohol. And they go through a period of detoxification where that their bodies are withdrawing from the chemical dependency. We have that same problem with sugar and caffeine. I can tell you the first 3 days of my fast are going to be headache-filled, painful days. Because every time I've fasted, I've gone through the same process. And that's my body saying, you know what? It's cleaning itself out. It's my brain is detoxifying itself from caffeine. And as we go through this process, your spiritual body, your spiritual being begins to detoxify as yourself and all of the bitterness and all of the unforgiveness and all of the hatred and all of the strife and all of the envy and all of the pride and all of the arrogance begins to become, and it begins to be detoxified from our bodies. And then we are brought face to face with the other painful issues in our lives as to what is the root cause of our problems. So many times the root cause we don't ever want to deal with, and fasting gets in there and it begins to deal with the root cause of the problem as to why you are the way that you are. Your flesh hates it, but your spirit should crave it. And your spirit and your soul goes through a detoxification process. We will be tested. That's the basis of this message. You will be attacked by demonic forces that will try to discourage you and to give up the fast. You will be told that this is bad for your body. Your body, this is not good for you. You're hungry right now. You need to take and have more nourishment. But you've got to take that flesh. You got to take that enemy that's telling you, whispering this into your... You've got to take and you've got to turn that on him and say, get thee behind thee, Satan. You have to take control of your flesh. A number of people have asked what you may or may not have during fasting. I do not have one of those commitment forms with me here. I meant to bring that with me if I can borrow Bishop's here. We broke fasting down into four different fasts. And if you have that here, and this will be in closing so if our musicians can come, we have the Daniel's fast. The Daniel's fast is based upon the fasting experience of the Old Testament prophet. It's a partial fast where some foods are eaten while others are restricted, and I mentioned a little bit about that. The fast my wife and I went on, no sugar, no flour, no meat. It was very, very challenging. There's the website, www.danielfast.com. Also, we have fast number two, which is a family fast. This is something that if a family, and I use the George family, Blake and Sarah, because they were in here, but I could pick any family here this evening. But if you have children in your family and you would like to take and go on that fast, but as an adult, maybe you would like to take and go on one of the other fasts, but lead your family through the fast where that you take and you fast one meal a day for 21 days as a family. We're trying to to teach our children. Also, we have the working man's fast. I worked in construction for 25 years or so of my life, and I know what it's like when it's 20 below zero outside and you go to get your sandwich at lunch and your sandwich is frozen and your hot chocolate is cold. It takes a toll on your body. So if you would fast, commit to an every other day fast for 21 days, that is a challenge to do that. Fast, commit to that fast. Commit to it. And then there's the personal challenge. And you can combine any of these fasts together that what suits you and your family best. If you've never fasted 3 days before, maybe you would like to take and say, I'm going to challenge myself to fast 3 days. And then I'm going to go every other day after that. Or then I'm going to go on the Daniel's fast after that. But I want to challenge my flesh. I want to challenge my spirit. I want to challenge myself for 3 days. If you've gone 3 days, I want to challenge you to go 5 days. Go 5 days, and then maybe after 5 days, flow into one of the other three fasts. Or if you've gone 5 days, go seven. If you've gone seven, go 10. If you've gone 10, challenge to go 14. And if you've gone 14, challenge to go 21. This is a challenge, church. This is a commitment. This is a commitment. And I believe that in the process that God is going to change this church and going to change our lives in such a radical way. If you would stand with me tonight, we're going to have one final message before we have communion and a commitment service. And bring this back. Take this with you this morning, but take it home with you and bring it back tonight. Because tonight we are going to take this and we're going to commit. And at the bottom it says a personal challenge. You see, if you don't have a personal challenge or a personal reason for fasting, then you're just going to go hungry. We say, Pastor, I don't know what I can fast about in my life. Everything's going so well. Start with pride. Just a thought. Maybe it wouldn't hurt to be a little more humble. So this morning, this is a challenge. I want to open up this altar area in front, but I don't want to just leave it at that. If you're here this morning and maybe you're struggling in areas of your life, you say, well, I'm not a member of this church. I want to challenge you to do this because God will honor it whether you're a member here or not. If you are hungry, the scripture says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. So if you're here today and you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're desiring more of God, I want to challenge you. He's here this morning. He will give you what you desire and what you're looking for in your life. So, church, as we enter into this season, it starts with a prayerful commitment. And I want to open up the front of this sanctuary for prayer and commitment. Tonight, we're going to be taking communion. Thank you.
I don't need to say anything else. How many of you are in for this? I want you to commit by coming down to the altar. Committing yourself to this process.